Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. James and Melissa here with you. It is 8:04 on the clock. We are joined right now by our good friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How you doing?
Pretty well. How about yourself there?
Doing good here. A beautiful sunrise this morning. Even had the moon out for a while that sun was coming out. Looking good so far. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, still looking at a warm day today here with enjoying some of that sunshine and highs at about 73 as south-southeast winds stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, the clouds build in and some showers and thunderstorms possible late as we head down to 57. Cold front coming through Wednesday morning, keeping us with some shower chances into the day, and then breaks the sun, 61 tomorrow, west winds 10 to 20, 37 on Wednesday night, maybe a couple showers in the evening, and then for Thursday, upper 40s, and more clouds and sun, a few late day showers possible, 30 on Thursday night, mid 40s, still rather cloudy into Friday, and then still some highs in the low 50s Saturday, partly sunny, upper 40s on Sunday. All in all, looking pretty quiet, just those cool temps sticking around through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Yeah, looks like it's going to get a little bit chillier as we move on throughout the week here, but kind of what we expected.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully you can get out and take in some more 70s out there while they're here today.
Yeah, I think that's a good note, Paul. Thank you for that. We'll talk again tomorrow. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
And welcome back, everybody. A big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate the update from them and getting good. Always good to talk to Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
I wanted to mention this real quick, too. It is VFW night at Culver's.
Oh, yeah.
Come out and support the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534 by eating at Culver's on East Street here in Wisconsin Rapids. 10% of all the proceeds will go to the VFW from both the drive-thru and dining in. It'll go to support the programs and operation of the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534. VFW members will be door greeters and be there from 4 to 8 each of the for tonight. Tonight's the last one of the year, I think. Yeah. I believe it is.
I think you're right.
Please stop in, say hello, support your local veterans of foreign wars from 4 to 8 tonight at Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
Yeah.
While you're doing this, very similar to Orange Blossoms or anything else, the one thing that I will suggest, make some eye contact.
Yeah, say hello.
Throw a thank you in there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt, and every time it hits them the same way. Like, I'm not trying to speak for them. I've had enough veterans tell me how much it means to them that it goes a lot farther than I think we as civilians realize.
Well, and I was reading about we just had that last Never Forgotten Honor flight that came back from Washington, D.C., and one of the things that was in that story that really hit home to me was how much being welcomed home from that meant to them. Because when they returned from those wars, they were spit on.
Yeah.
They were ridiculed.
Yeah.
And hated. And we need to make up for that.
Yeah.
This is one small way that just by saying hello, making eye contact, thanking them for their service, for allowing us to have the freedoms that we have today.
This is where something that we were getting into yesterday comes up for me, where the idea of supporting our soldiers.
Separation.
Yeah. You may not support a war,
right,
but you can support our darn soldiers.
Right.
You can do that. That has nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a whole different subject as far as if you think we should go to war or not. That's a conversation to have. But there is no conversation to have as far as our soldiers go. It's
right.
It's black and white. You do or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you hopefully you do. it seems ridiculous. I can't think of a rational reason not to. That's not just us as civilians. That's us as a government. That's us as a society.
Mm-hmm.
Need to put that a lot higher standard up there. You wonder why we don't have more people going into that field, why we don't have more people going into the military and this and that. And then you see how we treat our military and you wonder.
When they're homeless and hungry,
yeah.
Why would they want to do that?
Right. We need to get a lot better about that as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts... For me, with our veterans. It starts with how we treat our veterans and getting and making that better. Our VFW is better.
Mm-hmm.
The whole system, the
VA
insurance
system.
I mean, getting off of the paper system, for God's sake. There's half the VFWs in our country are still on a paper system. Well, the rest of the government that they're trying to work with is on a computer system. Just that simple, just fixing something as simple as that would be a nice start.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long conversation and one that we need to be having more often.
Mm-hmm.
And it may may not seem like a big deal, but you get some great food from Culver's, which you know you're going to love. You've never had a bad meal from Culver's.
No. Culver's is amazing.
You go there, you get some good food, and you're helping our VFW, your local VFW, our local VFW, I should say, because this is a specific one.
Right.
And we appreciate it. Right. You don't appreciate it very much.
It's very easy to just go out, have a nice meal, say hi.
Mm-hmm. If you must, I don't know. Does Culver's have I refuse to say PSL. Do they have the pumpkin spice latte thing at Culver's or whatever? I don't know. Okay.
Not the latte.
Okay.
They might have a pumpkin
like
spice.
A custard or something like that. Yeah.
Concrete mixer or something like that.
I don't know if it takes this much to work this off as that, but earlier in the week, we heard about a study in England that involved listing the amount of exercise you need to burn off food items, in addition to listing the calorie count. I think we did that a little while ago last week. So that got us thinking, what would the exercise label look like on fall's most popular beverage, the pumpkin spice latte? Here is the breakdown. A tall pumpkin spice latte with normal milk with no whipped cream is the best option. It has 200 calories, 0 grams of fat, 29 carbs. And to burn that off through exercise, you'd have to jog for 1.6 miles or do burpees for 21 minutes. It's just one of the more fun exercises to say. Mm-hmm. Stepping it up with a grande pumpkin spice latte with 2% milk and whipped cream puts you at about 390 calories, 14 grams of fat, 52 carbs. That will take you around 40 minutes of exercise or maybe a 3-mile jog. And the full-blown venti pumpkin spice latte with whole milk, whipped cream was nearly 500 calories, 20 grams of fat, and 63 grams of sugar. Maybe that's the thing that I need to drink to put weight on me.
There you go.
Just start pounding those things down. I couldn't handle a half of one. There's no way. There's no way I could do that. That will take you around 54 minutes of burpees or jogging for 4.6 miles.
Woofta.
No word on if you dress up like a pumpkin spice latte and what that will, how many calories that might burn.
That will definitely help.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but it does take 53 gallons of water to make 1 cup of latte.
Really?
53 gallons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting too. I read that statistic the other day and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. It's a good thing I'm okay with just black coffee, which also takes water to produce, not 53 gallons of it.
Yeah, that's a plus. I was a little distracted. I apologize, Melissa, because I feel like this is a little bit of the jerk in me, I feel like. But I love the idea of doing these stories back to back. So we do that one about the pumpkin spice lattes and how much exercise it takes to burn one off.
Mm-hmm.
Right here we have one. Is everyone just, not smart? Is everyone just silly, stupid, or dumb, or whatever? The 5 rules of surviving a stupid world. That's where we're going next.
Pumpkin spice into something stupid. Good. Nice segue. I had I did see the nicest pumpkin spice thing yet. Okay. And this happened at Family Natural Foods. Credit to them on Friday. Wow. And it was actually a pumpkin spice thing that I would try.
Huh.
It was Nature's Bakery fig bars with a pumpkin spice flavor.
That does sound all right.
Yeah.
I like fig bars.
I like them too.
Did you like Fig Newtons growing up?
Uh-huh.
I haven't had one of those since I was a kid, but I used to love them.
The off-brand ones of them are even better.
Yes, they are.
The strawberry ones?
Those are the ones we got.
Those are so good.
Those are the ones we got. Getting into this world of stupid here, whatever you want to call it, a professor of economic history at the University of California, Berkeley, my old stomping grounds, published an essay with 5 rules that we will all need to survive in a stupid world.
Okay.
They are, number 1, you're underestimating just how many stupid people there are out there.
Never underestimate stupid.
Never. If you think, just when you think you can't, you get, nope, it reminds
nope.
you. Something in society reminds you mm-hmm. that, there was a study not too long ago that 6% of the country believed that chocolate milk came from brown cows.
Yeah.
I mean, so just these reminders. Anyone can be stupid, regardless of their job, income, or education level.
Yep.
And this is one of those ones where I like to think this brings us all together. Because everybody has their moments of brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their moments of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one of us have those dumb
moments.
Yes. Every single one of us.
Every time it happens. Inevitably.
Every one of us have had those moments where you are basically Homer Simpson.
Yep.
You were doing something that is... Minutes later, you're kind of like, why? What was I thinking there?
Exactly.
But you did it.
Mm-hmm.
The best definition of a stupid person is someone who causes another person or people to lose something without gaining anything themselves. And maybe even losing something themselves. Okay.
Losing something.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how to interpret that statement.
Am I stupid because I can't understand that definition? I feel like I answered my own question.
We've lost the
there.
Meaning of this sentence. Apparently, somebody stupid made us do that.
Words are good. you're understanding just how much damage stupid people are doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And stupid people are the most dangerous types of people.
Yes.
So that's bleak. And there's really nothing we can do about all the stupid people. What can you do? The best thing is to keep acting intelligently and making smart choices for you and the world. Basically, to counteract all the stupidity.
Yeah. Don't lower yourself to their level because that's not going to help.
And yeah, this article comes from quartz.com if you want to see the complete article. I find that very funny. Thank you so much for laughing because I thought that was hilarious. There's also nobody who has a right to make you feel stupid.
True.
No article, no survey, no morning show host. No,
nope.
You know, I mean, no anybody. No, nobody has a right to make somebody else, you know, question their intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are a lot of people who we were talking earlier about fears,
mm-hmm.
and I think most fears, for every fear, like you brought up, fear of heights, there are fears that we deal with on a daily basis that we don't look at and we don't label as a fear. But the fear of seeming stupid, the fear of seeming unintelligent is mm-hmm. one that almost every single person walks around with.
Yeah, like how many times you fall, I don't want to say that, I'm a little stupid.
What's the adage about asking questions? There are no stupid questions. That phrase came up for a reason,
right.
That, you know, because people of the fear, everybody can relate to that
mm-hmm.
fear.
Mm-hmm.
This is, again, one of those things that I'd like to think brings us closer together than divides us and separates us.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about spin. I don't make disagree. I'm not going to argue that or anything. I get that. But you choose how you spin things. Like,
mm-hmm.
not the media, not a political party, not anything like that. You choose how things are spun. You
mm-hmm.
see a headline a certain way, you read it a certain way, that's one thing. How do you interpret it, though? That is different. And how do you interpret an article like this? I think we could have fun and make fun of, you know, quote-unquote stupid people and all these things and stuff. But to me, I find a kinship here. And not just with stupid people, with smart people, with average people, with
mm-hmm.
this person, that person, with everybody. Because this is everybody.
Yeah.
The person right now who's hearing this and says, well, that ain't me. Nah, man, it's you. You too. All of us.
Well,
all of us have had stupid moments.
And there are always areas that we can grow and can improve and learn.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm pretty stupid about sports. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can admit that.
Mm-hmm.
You and Seth sometimes throw around terms, and I'm mm-hmm. just like, what the heck are you guys talking about? Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know what... But now, if I start throwing around terms with
baking
mm-hmm. or with weaving
mm-hmm.
or
yes,
knitting,
yes,
I mean,
yes.
I could start talking about some of the technical terms with that, and you guys would be like, okay.
Knitting's nice.
I think there's yarn and pokey things.
Oh, yeah, the pokey things. You're
so, you know,
right.
I we all have our areas that we are either, you know, smart about or intelligent in, well-versed at. But then there's always those other areas that I don't know nothing, you know. I don't know anything about jet engines.
I honestly find something about that, fun. Like, I like being dumb in certain things because I want to learn and get better at them and get smarter.
Have those conversations.
Yeah.
Well, if you can talk to somebody who is truly intelligent and really knows their stuff about something and is passionate about it, those can be some of the most fascinating conversations to have because, well, I may not understand everything that person says, and I may be like, okay, could you actually write that down for me because I need to look up what you just said
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
can you explain that to me you know, those are the fun conversations to have, because I think it helps broaden our horizons, and it does help us realize that, well, I might be super smart about this, somebody else is super smart about other things, and that's okay.
Yeah, very, very okay. I mean, for me, one of my favorite things to do is to learn. Mm-hmm. So if it's a subject I don't know anything about, I'm okay with diving in and being like, I don't know, Jack. I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know that. It's one of the funner things about life is learning, is growing in those things. So, and I do think, too, that intelligence, while there are people who have, I don't believe that there has ever been an unintelligent person born. I think that some people have more brain power than others. Yes, some people are better studier than others. Mm-hmm. Some people memorize things better than others.
They apply it differently.
But I generally don't believe that anybody is born, quote unquote, dumb. I don't think that that's a possible. I think that environment has a lot to do with things.
The way that you're raised, yeah. The things that you're taught, the things you're exposed to. And that's not even talking about environmental exposures, chemicals, water quality, food quality. Those all make a huge difference in the development of a human.
I was in so many different grade schools growing up, and I would be at one grade school and we're learning our times tables. I go to another one. They've gotten done learning their times tables. They're moved on to cursive, you know, these things. So mm-hmm. I was always trying to catch up and was never really caught up on any one subject, but I use that to kind of ask questions and, mm-hmm. and really, like, it really helped me learn really at an early age. Do I want to learn, or am I worried about seeming stupid? You know,
yeah,
what?
Because another person could have chosen the opposite of that.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun getting into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club when we come back our mornings on WFHR.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear AOL buddy. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, thank you, Zoe. Zoe Deschanel, everybody, friend of the show. Thanks for stopping by, Zoe. Oh, you're leaving already? Okay, all right. That was weird. Should just stop by for that. It's time to do some celebrate with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. If you are hungry, treat yourself. Misty's is open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a happy birthday from all of us at WFHR. Mm-hmm. I have three possible qualifiers here. Melissa, I need a 1 through 3.
2.
All right, nice one. That gives us our qualifier, so we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Richard Casper.
Happy birthday, Richard.
Richard, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. The having a last name Casper in October,
it's a little on the nose.
A little on the nose. Richard, enjoy your day, sir. Also want to wish a very happy anniversary to Al and Patty Carsey.
Ooh, happy anniversary, Alan Patty.
No number here, so go ahead and pretend it like it's your first, gang. Whatever one it is for you guys, you go ahead and treat it
celebrate
like it's your first.
Celebrate it like it's the best one ever.
Yeah, nice. Alan Patty Carsey, we wish you a great anniversary. A big time happy anniversary to our qualifiers as well, celebrating their 42nd anniversary.
Nice.
Tom and Janet Gaber.
Ooh, happy anniversary, Tom and Janet.
Hope you guys have a fantastic one. Let me see. What is the special for 40th? It is a ruby. Ooh. Oh, this is interesting. So on this list that Pam printed out for us, and again, thank you, Pam, of mm-hmm. anniversary gifts by year, mm-hmm. it's got the traditional gift and then the modern gift.
Okay.
And this is one of the only ones where it's the same thing, a ruby.
Oh, interesting.
Most of them have changed over the years, but that the ruby stays the same?
Stays the same.
40th anniversary. Interesting. And that is for Tom and Janet. Again, happy 42nd to you, too. You're our qualifiers.
Awesome.
Get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com or James@WFHR. Like our Facebook page. You can direct message us that way. Mm-hmm. Morse code, smoke signals, whatever you got to do.
You could even call us before we start listing off the names. Call in and let us know that it's your birthday or someone you know.
I forgot to mention that yesterday. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
We'll give you right up until when we're doing our celebrity names here and everything. That's when you could still call in on birthday or anniversary. So we want to remind you of that, too, because we know what it's like. You forget sometimes. It happens.
You know what? We're human.
Mm-hmm. So, moving into our celebrity list, Cardi B is 30.
Ah.
I know who she is. I don't know a single song by her.
You know, I just realized probably that. Heard.
Yeah, I'm sure I've heard. Yeah, you're right.
And I think she does a lot of, like, collaboration ones, too, with other people, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Like, feat on feature on some people's other albums.
That wasn't me. I hope that doesn't come across like that was a shot at her or anything.
No.
That's more me. Mm. I just don't know modern music. I just don't listen to a lot of modern stuff.
Right, same.
I'm just not hip.
Which is not cool, Jane.
I'm so unhip that I said hip. I just said hip there. Michelle Wee is 33. Fantastic golfer. LPGA golfer who has earned $6.8 million in her career.
Wow.
Yeah, and counting. I believe she's still... Or I don't know if she... No, I don't think she retired. No, she's still going. Especially at 33 in golf.
Yeah, in golf.
Mm-hmm. She's got another 30 years ahead of her. Michelle Trachtenberg is 37. She was Dawn on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Georgina on Gossip Girl. She's had a couple of roles.
Okay.
She's been worked in a number of TV shows from what I remember.
Oh, yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she's good. How great is this? So our birthday and anniversary music that you hear in the beginning of our show is all random. Like, I hit a bumper, basically, and it's got all those just in lined up. And they just play randomly. We cannot choose which one plays.
No control over it.
Today, celebrating her 46th birthday, Emily Deschanel.
Oh.
If that last name sounds familiar to you, that is because she is the older sister of Zoe Deschanel, who did our opening music. There are no coincidences, people.
No. Nope.
This is life.
It's meant
this is,
to be.
That I couldn't have done that if I was trying to. That's funny. That's hilarious. And she's good. She's talented. Mm-hmm.
She was in Bones.
Yeah, she was Bones, right?
She
was Bones. Yeah, my mom loved that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was good on there. Yeah. I haven't seen her recently, but I know she's still working and everything.
She's doing the Animal Kingdom right now, which is a TV show, I believe.
Oh, cool. They look alike, but it took me having it told to me for me to catch that they were sister and sister.
Because
They don't look like that much alike. But once you see it, like, okay, I can kind of see it.
Yeah.
Let us see here. Stephen Moyer is 53. Vampire Bill Compton in True Blood. He was Reed in The Gifted. Jane Krakowski is 54. Jacqueline White on The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh.
Better known maybe as Jenna Maroney on 30 Rock. Oh, she was Elaine on Ally McBeal too, but I loved her as Jenna on 30 Rock. That was actually going to be Amy Poehler's role.
Really?
Yeah, but Amy got an opportunity to do this show called Parks and Recs and went and did that.
So,
it actually worked out really well because Jane did an amazing job on that show. And as much as I like Tina and Amy together, they've gotten to do movies together since and everything. And I think that it was cool to have them both on separate shows.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. The great, the wonderful Joan Cusack is 60.
Oh,
former SNL cast member Sheila Gallagher on Shameless, the voice of Jesse in Toy Story movies. She was in Sweet 16 Candles.
Mm-hmm.
I love Joan Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
I love everything she's ever done. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the Cusacks. I am a homer. Their family grew up like literally a block from Taylor and Racine, where my family is from. And just a big fan of that family, a big fan of hers. And rightfully so, by the way. It's not like I'm liking people who aren't incredibly talented when it comes to her and her brothers and everything.
Yeah.
And you can make the argument as much. I'm a humongous John Cusack fan. Like, I grew up on him. I was in an elevator with him. I love the man. Joan Cusack may be more talented.
Mm-hmm.
Might be. It's hard to say. And they're both neck and neck. But in certain roles, like, I've seen Joan Cusack just like steal the moment, steal the scene. And I've seen him do it too, but her more so.
Yeah. I loved her in School of Rock.
Yeah.
Just to bring up one that was so amazing because, I mean, she has so many.
If you are looking for an underrated movie that is just silly fun and is not not that popular, not a lot of people know about it, there is a movie called Toys starring Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Joan Cusack plays his sister in it. And their chemistry is some of the greatest I've ever seen in my life.
You know, like, I think I've seen that.
It wasn't the greatest movie. I love it because I'm, you know, Robin and Joan Cusack.
Right.
LL Cool J's in it for a little bit, too.
Yeah, I have seen this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a silly movie, but man, it is one of those ones that every once in a while I watch every couple of years or whatever just for fun. Just because it's the acting tour de force that goes on between those two is fantastic. They work so good together. I'd always wish that they'd do more together.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite quarterbacks growing up. It was Randall Cunningham, and it was Steve Young for me. Steve Young is 61 today. MVP of Super Bowl 29, Brigham Young's great-great-grandson. Also, Steve Young, a very successful attorney.
Really?
Did not have to go into football.
Huh.
Just went into football because he loved it. It was his first love. But
okay.
He could have made a perfectly fine living just as an attorney and everything. But he loved football.
All right. Do what you love.
Yeah, right. Daryl Hall is 76. The other half of Hall & Oates. You make my dream, say it ain't so, rich girl. I mean, Kiss on My List, Private Eyes. I every time we talk about Hall & Oates, I am blown away. I grew up with...
How many songs you know?
Yeah, and how many hits they had. I did not realize. I feel like I underrated them my whole life because I never realized how, even though I grew up in that era of all those hits. let's see here. And some people no longer with us, like Luke Perry, born in his day in 1966, passed away just a couple of years ago in 2019. He was on Riverdale, of course, famously known as Dylan from Beverly Hills 90210. Passed away way too young.
Yeah.
Way too young. The great Eleanor Roosevelt, born on this day in 1884, passed away in 1962. We have been fortunate and blessed in this country to have a lot of, a great amount of first ladies.
Yes.
Just a slew of wonderful first ladies. I mean this as nothing against any single one of them, because each one of them have things that I enjoy and I look up to and I respect and admire.
Appreciate about them.
There's only one Eleanor Roosevelt. There was only one. And that woman was a tour de force, an amazing human being. Social reform, humanitarian, FDR's wife. He served four terms, which makes her the longest serving first lady. And many people, many historians will tell you that the idea, because now it's common that every first lady has a cause. I believe Michelle Obama's was diets.
Childhood wellness.
Yeah. I know it had to do with food. I know it had to do, I believe Barbara Bush's was reading literacy. You know, everyone has their cause and such, and it really starts with Eleanor Roosevelt, who had about 90 of them. just for everything I could say about her, there's like something I'm forgetting because there were so many things that she did. Heck of a human being. Heck of a human being. And H.J. Hines, born in this day in 1844, passed away in 1919. He is the mustard guy. No, he's the ketchup guy. He said, of course, he's the ketchup guy, not the mustard guy. I thought that'd be funny. It wasn't funny. The ketchup king. He actually made over 60 varieties of condiments, but that just doesn't sound as catchy as 57, does it? So, 57, that's where it went.
Okay.
One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Richard Casper. A happy anniversary to Al and Patty Carsey. And a very happy 42nd anniversary to our qualifiers, Tom and Janet Gaber. Happy anniversary, you two.
Yes, indeed.
Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 Stanaway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Kick back, listen to Melissa's News, and then head out over to Misty's and enjoy yourself when you get there. Wish them a happy, a great big happy morning from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. Got some good stuff on the way for you. Keep on listening for your chance to win a pair of River Kings tickets as we help our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings build hockey up and down the river, along with our sister station, WisCountry 105.5 WIRI, home of every home game of your Wisconsin River Kings all season. I want to get into this one right now with you, Melissa, this new wedding trend. And I feel like I this is the one where I told you I had to look this up this morning and see. I went to the Onion's website just to double check, just to make sure and everything. Like, you guys trying to trick me again? Did you know super glue was used by medics in Vietnam to close wounds?
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, I think that's something that even a parent has done from time to time with a glue and keeping a wound closed. Or I know I've done it. I know many of my guy friends have done it. Okay, yeah. So I don't know if it's just a guy thing. I didn't want to say that, but it does feel like it because the only people that I've ever known who've done this are men.
Well, though, in your defense. Often those wounds happen because you're working on something with your hands and you need to finish the job, and a Band-Aid is not going to cut it.
I was like 16,
it's on your fingers.
17. Yeah, I'm on a construction site, and nobody had a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was really, I mean, it was that or I keep bleeding. And
right. Well, and while that's not, you know, super glue shouldn't be applied to your skin.
No.
They do actually have product now that is, I think it's called New Skin. It's it's basically a glue for wounds, but it's formalized for that. Safe to put on your skin, unlike super glue. But yes, I believe they would do that. And in the heat of battle, yeah, it's going to help.
So now that is not an old, I think that some people might think it's an old wives' tale. That's not. That's true. And it saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
But it's got many other uses, too. Obviously, glue is a very giving product. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of great things
for us.
Yeah. Brides are now using it on their wedding day to temporarily pin their ears back.
Pin their ears back.
The newest wedding trend is brides using a tab of glue on the backs of their ears to pull them back.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I was going to ask you. I have no idea. I read this 3 times this morning, and I'm like, am I just like, because be honest with the audience, I literally didn't sleep last night. It was a long night. So I'm wondering, okay, am I just overtired? Am I rereading?
Well, and I thought that's what was happening as you started this story, because we were talking about weddings, and then all of a sudden we're talking about wounds and super glue and a war? Like, I don't know where you're going with this, James. Did we just switch topics and I missed it?
Nope, it's all under one topic.
Oh, man.
We're weird. People are weird. Well, that's what it comes down to.
But why?
A hairstylist in Brazil just did it for a bride who wanted to wear her hair up in a bun. An Instagram video has racked up over 20 million views. The bride doesn't wear her hair up very often because she's got big ears. And when she does, she uses super glue to pin them back. So the stylist said, sure, and did it for her wedding. They put a line of super glue behind each ear, stuck them to the sides of her head, and boom, problem solved.
Okay, so that's useful for this person who has this specific issue, but why is it catching on?
Yeah, some people think it's genius, other people think it's dumb, and you should just love yourself the way you are. That said, she's not the only one to do it. A few women in the comments said that they've done it too.
Okay, well, you know, I guess, you know, okay, so you want a certain hairstyle for your special day, but you don't like how your ears look. So you do something to modify that. I don't think it's that bad, James.
I mean, just wear your hair down.
You want your hair up?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's okay. But if this is becoming a trend because the sleeked back ear look is a new thing, I think that's ridiculous.
That does feel a little ridiculous. I do love the... I only said the hair down thing because my first instinct is you're beautiful the way you are. Just be comfortable who you are. You don't have to do these things. I should have just stuck with my first instinct. I'm staying out of this one. I don't have a leg to stand on. I don't know what it's like. I don't have no opinion. None. Staying away from this one because I generally don't really have anything really to add.
I don't know. I think that's a pretty minor thing to change. I mean, it's like, if you don't like how your ears look, I don't know what
Here's
to say.
Here's my only thing. Most of the people that are going to see these pictures, outside of social media, of course, where you've got, you know, your friends with strangers on social media. Like, we've all got tons of friends on Facebook that we've never seen or met or whatever, but we consider them friends, things like that.
Mm-hmm. See our posts.
I mean, it's here and there, I should say. Not everybody, but here and there people have that. But outside of that, the majority of people know what you look like already.
Right.
So who are you fooling? Like, I mean, who are you trying to, you know, fool over on this and everything? Especially if you're getting married, the person standing next to you there loves you just as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, if my significant other wanted to do this, I'm going to support her and everything, but I'm also going to tell her, like, honey, you know, you didn't have your ears pinned back when we met or when I proposed to you or anything like that. I mean, I'm pretty cool with the way you are here. I'm all right with it. I actually like it or whatever, you know. I mean, maybe the person is into that. I don't know.
To each their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think it's, you know, uncommon to want her to have her day. You know, I mean, if this is what she wants, whoever this is, go for it. You know?
Well, you know, we could talk about the giant thing that is weddings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So society has made weddings into this big, huge day. Girls are grow up think, oh, someday that's what I'm looking forward to, my wedding day when I get to be pretty and I get to be gorgeous and everybody's looking at me. And so I think a lot of that is built up in a woman's mind of, well, everybody is looking at me. I want to look my best. If pinning your ears back makes you feel your best on that day, well, go for it. I don't know if a doctor would recommend using super glue.
No, I also wonder what happens if it stays. Like, I mean, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
It will eventually come off.
If you're not careful and the glue drips, can it cover, like, fill up the holes, like your earring holes? Can it? I'm asking questions.
We do not recommend using super glue on your skin at this radio station.
No,
period.
No, not at all. Period. No, 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 no. And again, teach their own, of course, yeah. And everything. But embrace who you are, I would say. I'll take a break right here. Actually, I did have one quick question, because I was thinking of this the other day. I was talking to my papa a little while ago, and it came up about him and my Nana's wedding. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how they get married at a courthouse. And I was thinking about it, and my grandmother and grandfather also, same thing. They had to get married at a courthouse. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother and grandfather were different religions, so that was part of the reason, especially back then. That was just unheard of.
Right.
And then with my Nana and papa, they had both been married before. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of like looked at. So they just got married at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it, and they're like, my ex-wife and I, that was what we thought to do right away, go to the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
My parents went to the courthouse. Like, how much are weddings our hand-downs? Mm-hmm. You know, where if you come from a family that has, like, big weddings, do you feel like you should have
pressured
to have a big,
wedding?
Now, my brother and his wife, I should just say my sister. She's not my sister-in-law. She's basically my sister, Kim. they had a nice wedding at a church in Appleton and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not to say every family member, but the majority of my family, that's how they've been married, is going to the courthouse and everything. Mm-hmm. My sister had a very nice ceremony, but it was at Lake Wazicha.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it depends. A lot of it is family, mm-hmm. I think, influenced, because parents play a big role in their children's wedding days.
Mm-hmm.
If you are raised very religious, it's likely you'll get married at a church. If you're religious, or if you feel pressured from your parents to have the religious ceremony. I think if, you know, your family hasn't stigmatized getting married at a courthouse, then there's nothing wrong with that. Often, I think second weddings are smaller.
Yeah.
So that courthouse is a good option.
Although I know a number of people who had a small wedding, a courthouse wedding to start off with, in their second wedding, like, oh, we're going all out. Like, I only know two people like that, but both of them and with their significant others, they went, like, one guy went to Vegas and had his and stuff and everything. So I traditionally, you're right, absolutely. Yeah. But the outliers here,
I think it's becoming more common to have weddings not in a church, but at a, like, Lake Wazicha, or on top of a hill in a field.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's destination weddings.
A lot of beautiful settings out there.
A lot of options.
I will say, if I don't think that I'd be able to because of my, because I don't have a faith necessarily. I mean, mine's a creed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, churches are beautiful.
They are.
They are a perfect setting for a wedding. They really
are. But most churches won't let you get married there unless you are their religion.
Understand. And completely respect that. Just saying, you know, if you could choose, it would be really.
You know, this might change over time as they need to bring in more money. Saying.
Maybe.
Rent out the venue.
Especially like here in central Wisconsin, there are so many beautiful, like, old churches.
Yeah,
they're very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you at 8:53 on the clock. And we are going to get into some fun stuff right here. Actually, not that fun, a little scary fun, actually, because I got here the 5 scariest movies of all time, according to experts.
Ooh.
If you're looking for something really scary to watch this Halloween, a website called Study Finds claims to have found the 5 scariest movies they visited and, quote, 10 of the leading expert websites to see which movies are rated as the most frightening and frightening-inducing.
Okay.
You've mentioned before scary movies aren't your thing.
Nope.
They're not my thing, but maybe for a different reason. I was 7 years old, and my Nana would have me watching The Shining with her. And Alfred Hitchcock movies and that kind of thing. Like, I just got really numb to horror at a young age.
Okay.
And now it just doesn't do anything to me. Like, that's not a machismo thing. That's not a macho thing. I actually feel like I miss out on this. It's the same thing with, like, roller coasters and things like that. Like, I see people around me enjoying and, like, screaming and all this, and I don't feel like I'm human. Like, I feel very silly and very left out. I will say this. The one movie to ever freak me out was the Ring, in movies like that, where you got people bending, the body parts bend in weird ways. Like, I don't care about the blood and gore and all that. That doesn't bother me. But the bending of the body part, like, that stuff, that's a little weird to me. That's about as close as I get to being, like, a little scared, a little disturbed.
So some of the things coming out of that AI is finding, is interpreting as scary, are probably more going to actually freak you out.
I saw
a little bit of a video, like it was like a music video, but it was supposed to be horror.
Yeah.
And the girl's face like changes.
Her mouth moves weird, it
creeped me out. I don't want to watch that.
All the other
stuff nightmares are made of,
you know, Freddy, Jason, all that stuff, boring. Like, I just find it so darn boring. I know what's going to happen. I mean, I know, you know, the girl falls down and the killer's right there, you know, even if it was 20 miles away at first. We got to know how this goes. But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't change the fact that some of these are still, like, it's kind of interesting to look at this list. So, number one on the list, The Exorcist from 1973.
Okay.
Halloween, the original, from 1978. Then it gets a little more modern with Paranormal Activity in 2007. Then The Shining from 1980. That's funny. Huh?
Okay.
And five is It Follows from 2014. I'm not familiar with that one.
Five is It?
The title is It Follows. I thought it was It, but It Follows.
It must be a sequel?
Yeah. Or no, I don't think it's... I think it's just an original. I don't think it has anything to do with It. I think it's just called... It just happens to have It in the title.
Okay.
Okay, definitely. And I'm not reading the synopsis of that one out loud. Okay. Yeah, definitely not the It Pennywise. Not that.
Gotcha.
I think it's kind of interesting that the...
The old ones? Older. They're not old, but...
But the top ones, The Exorcist, Halloween, like, we're talking 70s here.
These are classic.
Yeah.
Scary movies.
And even The Shining is from 80, which might as well be 79, you know.
Right.
And the most modern one with the It Follows from 2014 is one that hardly any of us haven't heard of. Even in this article they talk about it, it's not one that's more pop, than one of the more popular movies, let alone horror movies. With all the CGI and green screen and all the modernization of special effects and all these things, The Exorcist and Halloween and The Shining from the 70s are still the top of the heap here. That's kind of cool. I think that's kind of interesting.
Not being somebody that takes in horror movies, because I really don't. I haven't actually seen any of those because I don't like horror.
Yeah.
But looking at it objectively, I would imagine that a lot of the more modern stuff is just they're throwing guts and gore and gross at you, and the jump scares and the just trying to find any way they can. They're scrambling to, but what those movies have is the combination of good directing, good acting, minimal use of CGI, obviously, coming from the 70s and the 80s, and then the storyline. They get the creep, they get a little bit of the gore, the gross, and they play on people's fears.
And that, to me, has always been scarier. The suspense, the Alfred Hitchcock style. What Jordan Peele does now with Get Out or the movie that just came, you know, those movies. Like, he's doing that more than the blood and gore and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's trying to outdo each other when really, if you've got good storytelling, if you've got a good director, good actors... it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Hitchcock could freak you out with just a shadow on a wall. The Werewolf by Night, the new Marvel movie that came out on Disney+, it's a bit horror, a bit Marvel. I cannot recommend that enough. It was awesome. It blew me. I just threw it on for the heck of it. I got sucked into it. It's black and white noir. It's modern telling, but it's not in that blood and gore kind of thing. It's all suspense. They're not ruining anything, but it's got a werewolf in it, obviously. It's in the title.
Doesn't give it away.
And the werewolf changes. Spoiler alert. You know, But with that scene, it's not like you traditionally, like nowadays when you see it where the hands are changing and the face and all this stuff. It's all done in shadow. So all you're seeing is the woman who's seeing this herself.
Watching her reaction.
And the shadow of it on the wall. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it because that was freaky to me. But seeing the guy change, maybe it's in part because of the way my brain is, and I dissect this stuff anyway. So I look at the editing, I look at the sound, and so much of that is, you know, how scary is Jaws without the dun 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 dun?
Right.
You know, you gotta.
Well, and some of it is we build up in our own head more than what they could put on the screen.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
I don't know. The movies that truly freak me out are ones that are like. Honestly, infectious disease. Some of the Michael Crichton stories.
Yes.
More along that, like Outbreak.
The ones we don't think of as horrors, but you're darn right. I'm right with you on this. Like those freak me out more.
No, she's going to get a hole in her suit. Yeah. And then she can't die.
That's a great point. That's really good.
Those are the ones that actually scare me.
You mentioned jump scares. The Midnight Club, the newest Michael Flanagan movie or series on Netflix, that has it set the Guinness World Record for most jump scares in a premiere episode with 20. So to your point, like that's kind of what they're doing now, and it kind of feels old. It kind of feels like it's been done.
Yeah.
I want to touch on something when we come back. We'll come back from break, and we'll hit that up right away.
We got talking about horror. It was so interesting.
It happens. We'll be back with more fun right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.